Well, it's a pleasure to be here today. Yes, the title of my talk is Rapid Evolution of Hybrid Male Sterility in the Phytophagous Insect Androctonus ponderosi. Now, studying the patterns and the processes that are associated with reproductive isolation is really, in essence, a study of speciation. And Dendrocnidus ponderosi actually provides us a really unique situation to try to look at post-mating isolation. For those of you who aren't familiar, Dendrocnidus ponderosi is also known as the mountain pine beetle. It's fairly widespread in Western North American coniferous forests. Outbreaks of this insect cause considerable tree mortality, and because of that, it's been studied extensively. A recent study unexpectedly discovered partial reproductive isolation within this species. If you cross a population from Southern California to one in Idaho as well as South Dakota, something happens that's described as hybrid breakdown. Basically, you produce a hybrid, but then the hybrid is then incapable of, or appeared to be incapable of further reproduction. That line was incapable of further reproduction. It was hypothesized that this was going to be consistent with Haldane's rule. Haldane's rule is a well-known rule in evolutionary biology, which just simply states that hybrid males in XY taxa typically show sterility or some sort of inviability first. Those findings were quite interesting, considering that a concurrent phylogeography study described broad-scale isolation by distance within this species, but that there was no single species boundaries. Or no, within this species, in this analysis was that same population there, as well as here. So there's no sharp boundaries of differentiation. However, what was very interesting is that this population, these populations down here, were actually found to be the most genetically divergent, and that gene flow in this species actually appears to occur in a horseshoe-shaped distribution around the Great Basin Desert. So in putting those two, these two previous studies together, what we have is this really, really unique situation where there appears to be some sort of reproductive incompatibility, post-mating incompatibility, occurring within a species that appears to be distributed along this gradient. So that's where it leads into my objectives, which are to try to characterize the strength, the inheritance pattern, and the geographic pattern of reproductive isolation within Dendrocnidus ponderosi, and to try to determine whether reproductive isolation might actually increase between increasingly divergent populations. And I was looking at post-mating isolation, so post-mating reproductive isolation between populations, and that really includes two things: hybrid inviability, and then if those hybrids are produced, is there some sort of reduced reproductive capacity to those individuals or possible sterility? To try to explain that so that this makes sense to everyone, I'll use a well-known example between a horse and a donkey. Now, if you cross a horse and a donkey, they'll produce viable offspring. You'll get a mule. But to determine in a crossing experiment if the mule is sterile, you're going to need to cross it back to a horse or back to a donkey. That's kind of essentially what I was trying to do here with the mountain pine beetle. However, now this is pulled from that phylogeographic analysis. I wanted to collect this California population, which is located here, and then cross it to increasingly divergent populations collected around this gene flow barrier. Determine if they produced viable hybrids, and then from those viable hybrids, determine if there's any kind of loss in reproductive fitness. So in the spring of 2007, we had set out to go collect a bunch of populations. These are the sites that we collected. I collected that California population, which was located in pinyon pine. I collected a sympatric population in another host, sugar pine. Then I collected these increasingly divergent populations. Most of them came from lodgepole pine. And then I collected this Arizona population, which was in limber pine. Unfortunately, when during rearing out that Arizona population, they were lost. But all these were brought back to the lab and the adults were reared out. So for the first part of this experiment, I was looking at a hybrid inviability. And so I used lodgepole pine bolts, and these were infested with these within population crosses and these between population crosses. Remember, everybody's crossed to this California population. And I wanted to compare the number of fertile pairings and then the sex ratio of the resulting offspring to try to determine if they are producing if they are fertile, and then to make sure that males and females are both present. All hybrids were then collected and then used in the next round of the analysis, which is the hybrid fitness component. Again, lodgepole pine bolts were used. There was these within population crosses, but now I had all of these hybrids that were going to be back crossed to all these other populations. or backcrossed of the populations that they came from. So there's a male and female pair, and they were inserted in each one of these little strips. Gallery construction and brood production was allowed to proceed for 26 days, at which point it was halted, and then the reproductive output was quantified, and that was the number of eggs in the first 15 centimeters, egg hatch in the first 15 centimeters, and then total egg hatch through the whole gallery. So under the results, this is for the hybrid inviability results. This is the proportion of fertile crosses. The green bars represent the within population crosses. The blue bars represent the between population crosses. And these are arranged in increasingly divergent order. So this is California by the St. Patrick population. This is California by Utah. And a fertile pair was considered fertile if they could produce at a minimum 5 adults. And what you see here is that clearly 95 to 100% of these within population crosses were fertile. 80 to 100% of the between population crosses appeared to be fertile. Of those offspring, I randomly sampled 50 individuals to determine the sex ratio. And what we see here, this is the number of females to each male. Again, the green bars are the within population crosses. The blue bars are the between population crosses. Also, sorry, I forgot to mention, the different colors represent the reciprocal crosses. So one direction of the cross, you know, male to the female, and the other direction of the cross, female to male. Not necessarily important because obviously there was individuals produced in this trial. So what we see here is that these hybrid individuals, there is going to be males and females produced. So in short, there was many fertile interpopulation crosses, many hybrid male and female offspring were produced, and there doesn't appear to be any hybrid inviability. However, in terms of hybrid reproductive fitness, this measure of the proportion of viable eggs, we see something quite interesting happen. Over here are the populations that were used in the study, and you see that the geographic distance of the population that was used in the cross, as well as the hybrid sex that was used in the back cross, and the interaction of those variables was significant. So what you see here, this is the proportion of viable eggs, and this is standardized to what we saw with the within population crosses. So basically a one means that's kind of what was expected based on what we saw in the in the within population crosses. So anything above one is increased fitness, anything below one is going to be decreased fitness. And what you see, of course, is that as you get these increasingly divergent hybrids, there's this threshold. All of a sudden, when you cross a California population to Idaho and a California population to Utah, you get this break. And then all of a sudden, males show this very low proportion of viable eggs, while the females remain at this high level and in about comparable to what was expected fitness. Interestingly, the three-way interaction was not significant. That was this reciprocal variable. Basically, does it matter if it's a California male or a California female used in the initial cross? For total egg hatch, we see the same thing, kind of as expected. Again, those same variables are significant, and it's this California cross to Idaho, California cross to Utah. We see that all of a sudden the males appear to be sterile. There's this really low number of eggs that are hatched. And here's a picture of those strips that were removed off of a bark or off of the bolt. And what you see here on the left, these were some of the geographically proximal population crosses. That's a cross that was with a fertile male. And then on the right, you see a cross that's with a sterile male. That's a gallery that was constructed where there's males and females at the very top. They seem to be coordinating their efforts. It's full of eggs, but none of them hatch. And the important point in this slide that I want to make is that it was this high proportion of these hybrid back crosses that weren't showing egg hatch. It wasn't that there was many males that appeared to be producing one or in a cross were only showing one or two eggs that were hatching. It was that the overwhelming majority of them were completely incapable of any kind of further reproduction. And post hoc comparisons suggested that no significant decrease in egg viability or total egg hatch was seen in these less distant crosses. So I cut out the data that included any hybrids with Idaho and Utah and just analyzed this, essentially, and there was no significant differences. Now, some of you might be familiar with Wolbachia. I'm not sure if you are, but if you're not, it's a bacteria that's well known. It can cause rapid evolution of post-mating isolation. So I wanted to try to detect it, see if it was possibly contributing to any of these patterns that I was seeing. So I tried to amplify a Wolbachia-specific gene. I tested those populations that were producing sterile individuals. Two did come back positive, although I did not detect it in the same populations that appear to be producing sterile males. So in conclusion, there's no evidence of inviability within the species that I crossed. However, there is evidence of hybrid male sterility and agrees with Haldane's rule. Haldane's rule is well known to be the first post-mating barrier to develop between diverging taxa. This threshold expression of male sterility is quite fascinating. It appears to occur between Oregon and Idaho, and it occurs reciprocally. So males and females from California and Idaho are reciprocally produce sterile individuals. Sympatric populations and geographically proximal populations on different hosts appear to be reproductively compatible. Wolbachia does not appear to be contributing. And just to show you this, that's from the phylogeography study. And this just shows those sterile populations. This appears to be quite recent. There's really nothing there suggesting any kind of isolation. Sorry. And those are my acknowledgments.
Questions?
Yes.
Can you speculate on what the mechanism of the sterility is so that you go Wolbachia?
Yes. That was originally my goal, was to really try to focus in on this. Oh, sorry. What's the mechanism that might be contributing if it's not Wolbachia? That crossing design is actually a lot more complicated than I led on to. You can track the male and female chromosomes that are getting put into those hybrids. And so the fact that it's reciprocal is actually quite interesting. It suggests the X chromosome is known to play a very large role in reproductive isolation, and it's specifically hybrid male sterility. And so the fact that X is reciprocally sterile is quite interesting. I think it's going to be genic, but I'm not really sure.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks.